That's good news. That God is on our side. Come what may, it's good news that God is on our side. First, giving honor to God, to my Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ, to Pastor Jimerson, our trustees, our deacons, and all the officers and friends here at Second Baptist Church. Truly, it is a blessing to stand behind this sacred desk once again and proclaim the riches of God's holy word. I'd like to give a shout out to these men. Amen. Let's give God a hand clap of praise. You all have done my heart well. Amen. To our ushers who have served us so well, we thank God for you and for the service that you all do here at Second Baptist. Not to prolong the day, but I would like to share a portion of scripture from Isaiah in chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 13. And it reads thus: In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood seraphims, each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. One cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send? And whom will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. Thus ends the reading of God's word. Amen. The prophet Isaiah in verse 5 said, Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Let us pray. Eternal and all-wise God, we come before you now, first to give you thanks, Lord, for another day's journey, for this opportunity, Lord God, to stand behind this sacred desk. I say thank you. And Lord God, we lift up each and every one that's here under the sound of my voice. I ask, dear Lord, that you would touch their heart, move from heart to heart and breast to breast as we share in your holy word. Now, Lord God, I ask that you hide me behind the cross of Calvary, that this thy people see none of me, but let them see all of thee. Use me according to your will and purpose. We ask this blessing in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our risen Savior. Amen. Amen. The man in the mirror. You know, mirrors reflect the image before them. And God's word is a spiritual mirror that reflects the inner person. It allows one to see oneself as he or she truly is. God's spiritual mirror does not Photoshop. It does not touch up the reflected image. You know, I was sitting there and I was thinking how I used to, as a child, go into the fun house. And you know how the fun houses in an amusement park have all these mirrors. They can make a tall person look short, a overweight person look skinny, right? All these deceptive mirrors. And some of us, we've got mirrors that can be deceptive in our homes. Amen? But God's mirror, it gives us a true image of the person before it. Most of us, I'm sure, this morning, looked in a mirror before you left home to make sure you looked good. Am I right about it? Yeah. Amen. But see, here in our text, the prophet Isaiah stood before a mirror. He stood before God's mirror, the glory of God's presence. And it was a life-altering experience for the prophet Isaiah as he saw himself as he truly was in the text. And in this text, I'm reminded of one of my favorite songs. It was written and sung by Michael Jackson. He says, "I'm looking at the man in the mirror." But he starts it out, "I'm going to make a change for once in my life. It's going to feel real good. It's going to make a difference. It's going to make it right. As I turn up the collar on my favorite winter coat, this wind is blowing my mind. I see the kids in the street with not enough to eat. And who am I to be blind, pretending not to see their needs? A summer's disregard, a broken bottle top, and one man's soul. They follow each other on the wind, you know, because they've got nowhere to go. That's why I want you to know. I'm starting with me. I'm starting with the man in the mirror. I'm asking him to change his ways. No message, my brothers and sisters, could have been any clearer. If you want to make the world a better place, take a look at yourself and make that change." Michael Jackson. So I'm asking the man in the mirror to make a change, because no message can be any clearer than the message that Isaiah is sharing with us today. See, first, for the first time in his life, Isaiah saw a true vision of God's divine nature. The text tells us that this life-changing experience for the prophet occurred in the year that King Uzziah died. See, King Uzziah was a good king. He reigned for 52 years, and during his reign, the people were blessed. But like some of us, when we're blessed, they transgressed. Got quiet, Pastor. But see, when we're so comfortable living in our comfort zones, we tend to forget the one who made us comfortable. And we transgress and fall away from God's law. The children of Israel, they transgressed from the law. And my brothers and sisters, judgment day was coming. See, and Isaiah said in verse 1, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. He saw the Lord high and lifted up. You know, there's no throne higher than God's throne. And I do believe he sits high and looks low over the balcony of heaven. And the text says, above it stood seraphims. Each one had six wings, and with two he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one unto another and said, as if in a call and response, Negro spiritual, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. So much so that verse 4 says, and the post of the doors moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Just imagine that. What a powerful vision of God's presence. The presence of the Lord filled the temple so much so that there was no room for any flesh to glory in the temple. It was just a heavenly experience. The presence of God. And it was an overwhelming experience for Isaiah. Because after receiving the vision of God in the temple, sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filling the whole temple, and the seraphims flying around singing, holy, 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 and the smoke filling the temple. After seeing that vision of God, Isaiah said in verse 5, woe is me, for I am undone, because I'm a man of unclean lips, and dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. My brothers and sisters, when Isaiah saw himself in the revealing light of God's presence, his response was, woe is me. He was looking at the man in the mirror for the first time. Have you ever had a woe is me experience?
Yes, sir.
The first thing one sees of themselves in God's mirror is their true image, their inner self. Isaiah saw the real man in the mirror. He realized that he was undone. He realized that his lips were unclean also, and not only his lips, but the lips of his neighbors were also unclean. See, until you see yourself in the light of God's glory, in the light of God's mirror, it's easy to point out the faults and sins of your neighbors and others around you. In chapter 5, Isaiah issues out a whole lot of woes and transgressions. The Bible tells us in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned and come short of God's glory. See, Isaiah's unclean lips represented or symbolized what the man in the mirror really was on the inside. See, we look at the outer appearance. But I'm so glad that God looks at the heart. See, Isaiah was undone. He was unclean. And I've had an in-the-mirror experience. I'll share this personal testimony real quick. In May of 1990, I had a man in the mirror experience. My life was a wreck. And I saw myself on that Sunday morning when I got up and looked at the man in the mirror in my bathroom, and I looked at what I had become in my life. And all I could do was reach back to my early childhood. Because my mama did what the Bible said. She trained up a child in the way he should go. And when he's old, he will not depart far from it. See, my Sunday school class knows about it. But see, at that moment, all I could do was cry out like Isaiah, "Woe is me, Lord, help me." And God stepped into my life. And the Lord helped me out of my situation. And the same for Isaiah. After realizing and confessing his uncleanliness in verse 5, Isaiah received his cleansing and transformation. In verses 6 and 7, the Bible says, "Then flew one of the seraphims onto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, 'Lo, this has touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged.'" See, when we see ourselves for who we really are in the light of God's presence, in God's spiritual mirror, then and only then can we confess our shortcomings and allow God to cleanse us and purge us from our sins. And I'm so glad that the Lord cleaned me up. Because I was a mess, church. I was so caught up in my stuff, thought I was the baddest thing around. Amen? But see, the Lord spoke to me that morning, just as he did with Isaiah. And when I looked in that mirror and saw myself, I could only say, "Woe is me." But there's good news. Has the Lord cleaned you up? Has the Lord purged you from your sin, from your iniquities? Well, after receiving his vision of God and the cleansing of his soul, God commissioned Isaiah. In verse 8, Isaiah says, "After his cleansing, also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send? And whom will go for us?'" Now, Isaiah was ready for the Lord's use. See, after God cleans you up, church, he wants you to get busy. You know, Pastor Jimerson shouldn't have to beg folk to do a work for the Lord. We should just be jumping like popcorn in a hot pot just to get out there and do it. Amen? But that's mighty hard, my pastor. Amen. Amen. But the Lord said, "Whom shall I send and who will go for us?" He was ready, Isaiah was, for the Lord's use. Now he can say to those who are unclean, "I know how you're hurting. I know where you've been, because I've been there too." He knows the hurts of the people. And who can better speak to someone than someone who has experienced what that individual is going through? And who better to witness to that person than someone who has been transformed and cleansed through the power of God through Christ Jesus? God uses ordinary people to do extraordinary things for the kingdom of God. Because see, my brothers and sisters, we are people of unclean lips who have been touched by God and washed in the blood of the Lamb. And God wants to use us to advance his kingdom. We must all take a look in the mirror. We, like Isaiah, know the despair and the distress of uncleanliness. We also know the joy and the glory and the gladness of God's cleansing presence. We must all look into the mirror today. Look into the mirror of God's word. For God's word is a light unto your path. God's word is marrow unto your bones. God's word is the only word that will never fail. The grass may wither, the flowers may fade, but the word of God will last forever. See, God's mirror reflects our lives just as God sees us. Have you looked at the man or the woman in the mirror lately? When you look into God's mirror and let him do for you what you cannot do for yourself, then, my brothers and sisters, cleansing will take place. Cleansing will come, and the restoring touch of God will bring peace to your soul. I don't know. I think I'm speaking to somebody who may be going through a little turbulent time in your life. You may have an illness. You may have a sickness. But if you just hold on and take a look into the mirror and allow God to step in and touch you, he can turn that situation around. He's able to do all things but fail us. And he can bring peace in the midst of a turbulent situation. The man in the mirror. God's presence is here today. His mirror is before you. And I encourage you to look at the man, the woman, the boy, or the girl in the mirror today and make a change in your life. Allow God to cleanse you and make you fit for his use. You can be clean today if you just give your life to our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. He gave his life that we might have life more abundantly. He walked the hill of Golgotha carrying his cross. He was nailed to that cross, hung, bled, and died for your sins and for mine. And he was buried in a borrowed tomb. But early, my brothers and sisters, early on Sunday morning, he got up with all power in his hands, with power to raise the dead, with power to heal the sick, with power to clean the unclean spirits. And he said, greater things shall you do because I return unto my Father. I'm looking at the mirror and man in the mirror. For in Christ, we are new creatures. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. The prophet Isaiah had an outstanding experience with God and God's presence. And you too can experience God afresh and anew if you just look at the man, the woman, the boy, or girl in the mirror. God bless you. I'm looking at the man in the mirror.
All the people of God said amen. Amen. And those who were not afraid shouted hallelujah. Let not our hearts burn within as the man of God spoke to us along the way. Thank you, Reverend Ennis, for reminding us to look at the man in the mirror. If we look at the man in the mirror, we will determine that we're not worthy. God has the power to cleanse us up, to clean us up, and to send us. Who will go for us, and whom shall I send? Here am I, send me. The church is standing. If you do not have a church home and you're living in the city, we offer you now an opportunity to become a part of the body of Christ that we call Second Baptist. The Bible says, whosoever will, let him come. You may come by letter, by Christian experience, a candidate for baptism. If you're living in the city and you don't want to leave your old church home, you can come as a watch care member and we will look after you. The church awaits your coming. The choir sings.
Let the church say amen.
Come on, say it, Lee.
Let the church say amen.
Come on, Lee, say it.
God has spoken.
God has spoken.
Let the church
that's it.
Say amen. Let the church
say it, Lee.
Say amen. Let the church say amen. God has spoken. Let the church say amen. Let the church say amen. God has spoken. Let the church say the church say amen. God has spoken. Let the church say amen.
Come on. Sister comes for prayer. Deacons, would you gather around?
God has spoken.
Let the church say amen. Come on, God has spoken. Come on, God has spoken. Put your hands together. Put your hands together. Come on, let's praise God with a hand clap.
He's worthy of all of our praise. He's worthy of all our thanksgiving. Come on, let's praise him with a lip praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Reverend Ennis. Thank you, Deacon Fry, Deacon Shelton, Deacon Smith, Deacon Thurston, for ministering to this saint of God. The Bible says that if there's anything wrong, call. Let them call for the elders of the church. Yeah. Let the elders of the church pray and lay hands on them.
Yes.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. It's been a great day.
Yeah.
It's been a great day. Today, Sister Corrine Carter celebrates her birthday.
Amen.
And again, we welcome Brother Burgess back. The church is standing and we're singing happy birthday to Sister Carter. She's about how old? Is she telling her age? Is she telling her age? No, she's not telling her age today. All right, we do know that she is past 50. So we sing happy birthday to her. Come on, church, let's sing.